great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, this is Tom Koch. I've stated in the past that one of the true pleasures of my life is getting to meet many of you, hearing your stories, helping you understand how money and investing works, just getting to know you. It's really fun. It's a joy. It's honestly my favorite thing, other than every once in a while telling Don not to do something.
Hey, you do know I edit this, right?
But in all seriousness, I recently met with a great couple. They're getting closer to retirement. And in the last 6 months, they had moved all of their money to stable value mutual funds. Stable value mutual fund, only in retirement accounts. You can't go buy that out in an IRA. You can really only get them in 401ks. They're often hard to determine exactly what they own. They own guaranteed insurance contracts for many years, and indications are they've switched some of that off after the near debacle in 2008, and they've made a little more than money market funds over the long haul. But let's talk about moving money from stocks and bonds to stable value funds. And many of you did this. I just read the numbers. $326 billion flowed out of stock and bond mutual funds. That's about 1.7% of the money that was in all of those during the month of March. And this came at the end of a first quarter that saw 401k balances, according to Fidelity, declined by about 19%. And many of you say, well, it went down 19%. I got to do something. I got to move my money to something safer. And stable value fund is certainly safer. It is what it implies, stable, right? I mean, this should be money that doesn't move up or down very much. Indications are it is not. But it's not something you really want to hold in your retirement account for long periods of time. And oftentimes we tell you to think about the three things when determining your asset allocation. So maybe we go too quick on all that. So give me a minute. Let's go through them more carefully. Those three things are how much volatility you can handle, how soon until you need the money in that account, and what rate of return do you need to make on your money? Those are the things I would strongly consider. Let's take the last one first. How much money you need to make on your money. Now, if you take all of your money and you put it in a stable value fund, indications are you make somewhere around 2% a year. That's less than inflation going back to the mid-1930s, or if you look at inflation really since about 33, I think it's been a hair over 3. So you're losing to inflation by moving your money into something like that. But here's the tough part. Most of you don't know what rate of return you need to make on your money. You haven't really done a financial planning calculation. If you're young, for example, I'd say 30 or younger, you really should be no more than 20% of your money in bonds. You should be trying to make 8 to 10% a year. That seems a reasonable goal to me. You should be very stock heavy. Conversely, if you're getting close to retirement, you're in your 60s and you've been a good saver, you really need to have some sort of financial plan. Sounds boring. But to do that, to determine what rate of return you need on your money, again, if you've been a saver, if you have a good Social Security benefit, if you have a pension, maybe your rate of return you need on the money is only 5%. You could be pretty bond heavy and still hope to make 5% in the next 25 to 30 years. Know the rate of return. By the way, I think we still have our offer for a complimentary virtual consultation to help you understand exactly that. We've got calculators. We try to give you some suggestion. That's number one. Number two gets back to how long until you need the money. If you're 30 years old, you're not going to need this money until you're 60. Well, hey, having 80% of it in stocks and 20% in bonds makes a lot of sense, right? Again, if you're in your early 60s, you're going to start drawing on this in the next 2 to 3 years. You need a stable amount. So having stable value, I, by the way, would prefer bonds over stable value because bonds have returned a little bit more, but there's some volatility trade-off there. But again, if you needed it in less than 5 years, the amount of the stock exposure should be fairly much less. Although if you had a lot in bonds, you could draw on that first before the stocks declined. Which brings me to the third and perhaps most important point, and that is how much volatility you can live with. This is what people are learning right now, right? This is why people moved a record amount out of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds in March, out of stocks into cash. Bank accounts went way up. Savings accounts went way up. Safe places went way up. Stable value. We called Boeing one day to help someone roll some money out of their plan. Couldn't even get through for 2.5 hours because of all the changes being made in people's plans. You need to know how much pain you can endure. If you sold in March, well, now you know. Seeing that much volatility, you got to do something. So you need to have more of your money in bonds. We offer a free risk quiz at talkingrealmoney.com. You can take it. That gives you a number. That number might equate with how much you have in stocks. If you had a 54, maybe half of your money's in stocks, half in bonds. But you'd want to think about those other two factors as well. Finally, stable value funds. If you're going to put your money all in something safe, remember that you're not going to see much gain on that money. You're going to lose to inflation. You're going to, as we like to say, lose money safely, because the cost of increasing goods and services, inflation's been very low, but we expect it to return to more normal amounts, as I said, somewhere around 3%. That will cost your portfolio a lot in the long term. Important things to know before you invest anything, and especially as you get closer to retirement. I'm Tom Koch.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.